The Hydra Zadhon Tar is infused with Lay energy. Track it down before it gets stronger.
Rally to me, Ascalonians! You'll never conquer Ascalon!
Give up! You cannot win!
Hello and welcome to Hosts of Ascalon, a Guild Wars 2 podcast where two enthusiastic fangirls express some dismay, albeit somewhat belatedly, with one Grumpy Pants. I'm Alona, and I am joined, as always, by Hashtag and Hunter.
You're expressing dismay with me? Like, at me?
No.
That sounds like it's at me.
That is a little interestingly worded.
It says not about.
It's ambiguous.
It is not ambiguous.
Perhaps, you know,
it works. Said with, we are all three expressing some dismay with you.
Okay.
Not to you or at you. So before we get started, a quick reminder that you can get in touch with us with news, questions, or comments by emailing us at hostsofascalon@gmail.com or on Twitter at Hosts of Ascalon. So we usually start things off with Chivos, where we discuss what we've been up to in Guild Wars 2. Hunter, would you like to start us off?
Sure. I went through the first stages of the POF story to unlock the alternate to raise the banner collections.
I don't think I've done that.
Yeah, at a point early in the story, you can choose between siding with Pallava Joko or keeping Amnoon independent, or siding with the Sunspears, and depending on what you choose there, you unlock a collection. So, for my first time through, I unlocked the Sunspear collection, because why would you ever choose to side with Pallava Joko?
Right.
I did.
First time?
No, but on my second account, on my school account, I did just to see what would happen.
Yeah, nothing much happens. Like, you get a little dialogue here in the city talking about how you sided with Pallava Joko, but that's essentially it. Mm-hmm. And you unlock the collection. And if you finish all three of those collections, there's another collection that they tie into. I forget what it's called. Just another Raising the Banners collection. And I've been working on those, essentially. I finished the Sunspear one first, and I've been working on the other two. Mostly it's just, like, half of those collections are basically just finishing the story. So, Spirit on the weekend... Was it last weekend or the weekend before? I can't remember. And Spirit organized, with Relics of War, a Serpent's Ire meta run, since they added the achievement for it. And it's difficult to get a successful group, so she organized the crap out of that and went off without much of a hitch. We also completed the mini dungeon with the ley line anomaly thing that is just to the north of there for the other achievement. And
was that how you knew, what to do with it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, okay. I knew before that because I had gone through on my own. Just to see what it was, and just wasn't able to kill a champ by myself, but...
You think?
Yeah.
We will get to that.
And I completed some of the remaining achievements I had left from Living Story Season 3, including I'm Rubber, Your Destroyer, which for one whole achievement point, and the one where you kill a cheering white mantle in Bloodstone Fen at the end, when you finally catch up with Codicus, and there's like a bunch of white mantle standing around the top of the Colosseum area, and you have to kill one after it cheers. But it was a hidden achievement, so I didn't even know about it until I saw it in Guild Wars 2 Efficiency.
Okay. Yeah, pretty sure I haven't done that then.
And I did some One Path Ends achievements with Hashtag and Alona. Still have about three achievements to complete total for One Path Ends. I did the Casino Blitz a few times. Well, I say I did it, but at this point, why is someone changing my show notes? That is That is taboo. You don't get to change my show notes there, hashtag.
Just she changed, Hunter misspelled my name again.
I mean, quote unquote, misspelled. Anyway. So I did the casino blitz a few times, but you know, I'm kind of tired of getting the casino coins at this point, so I'm basically just waiting at the end and
sacrilege.
No.
Waiting for the pinata to pop and kill it, but having gotten the infusion, obviously, since that's super rare. I did buy the sand shark kite, and not the watermelon one, just to see what it looks like, and the blue potted choya, which is cute. I got a few portal spikes done in the Maw meta, in the Desolation there.
I don't think I've done any of those either.
I was there, a couple nights ago, and I saw the spikes, but I wasn't sure what to do, so I didn't get any done.
Oh, there's basically,
so many things I haven't done in those maps.
Basically, you get down to near the center of the Maw, and you kill some stuff, and it'll leave something on the ground, and you pick it up, and you run it back to this little bucket, and then you interact with the bucket, and then you run it over to the center thing, and you interact with that, and that spikes the portal.
Okay, I missed that last part.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it's not entirely obvious what you need to do. But, so I did that, and I got the new reward, but I don't think the new reward is enough to keep people doing the event. It's just like a couple brand sparks, or an ascended recipe, or 100 trade contracts, or other stuff, but it's not, I don't know, it's not enough to keep people doing it. And
are you guys spending any of your trade contracts? I've got thousands and thousands of them, but I haven't really spent them yet.
Yeah, I'm still buying recipes for the new skins, basically. Mm. Just slowly going through.
I haven't spent any, I don't think.
Mm.
Yeah. Jaw was saying try it again next week.
Oh, next week. Interesting.
Next week. Interesting.
I still haven't seen anyone doing Jinindu Rising, but I guess I'll be looking out for that next week.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yeah. someone who cares way too much about achievement points pointed out to me that I am now in the top 1,000 for achievements on the NA leaderboard.
What?
Who is that?
Spirit?
Festy.
Okay. It could have been any number of people, actually.
So yeah, Spirit noticed it for whatever reason, and I went to look, and it shows you your guildmates and how they're doing on the leaderboard. And Festy's 320 or something.
Holy moly.
Out of the top 1,000 people for achievement points. And I'm
Where's that link for that?
Yeah, where do you find that?
Just Google Guild Wars 2 leaderboards, and you should find the...
doing it.
Both the World versus World one and the achievement one.
Doing it right now. Mm-hmm. Do you have to log in for this or no?
Oh, I didn't realize it was on the website. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, you can log into it. It'll show you your guildmates and stuff next to your name and stuff like that.
Interesting.
But you don't need to.
You have to log in to see yourself, though.
Yeah, to see yourself. But you could theoretically find yourself if you just went through the top 1,000.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so...
You are 963.
Yeah, 963.
You're just in the top 1,000.
Yes, but Spirit isn't in the top 1,000, so there. I finished my Triple Trouble achievement, which I had been putting off for years, because when it first came out, I did the Crimson Worm several times, but I never got credit. I kept getting screwed out of credit, and I sort of gave up on doing it, and I just went back... the other day, got it done. It's done now. So, yeah, that's what I did this week. Hashtag. That's how that's spelled.
I didn't put that in.
Yeah,
that
I did.
It's been you, Hunter.
Yeah.
Oh, hashtag, you can sort this by guild.
Yeah, I saw that. I was just playing with it myself. anyway, due to weather and power-related issues, I was not able to finish all of the Halloween achievements I wanted to. I had, I only had, I think, less than 50 doors to open and around that and pumpkins and so close. But I couldn't get it done. So hey, they'll be there next year, right? So
yeah.
Well, and how did you feel about that? Like, knowing that you had that flexibility, that, you know, they weren't gone at the end of this and you'd have to start fresh. Did that make that a difference for you?
Yes, definitely. Because then I didn't feel like I was losing out, you know, that it would be back again. And I hope that there's, so I hope it comes back, and I also hope more get added. Does that make sense? Because, like, even if they add new, like, the new mini achievements, mm-hmm. I'll have almost everything else already done. So I hope they continue to add achievements, long-term achievements. And let's see. So Frick is catching up in my achievement point race. My guilty Frick. What the Frick? What the Frick? That's not okay.
Like, oh, I left for this. It's all terrible.
You know, I was about 550 ahead at one point, and then I had all this power stuff and whatnot, and I log in yesterday, and he's cut down my lead. I'm now only 300 achievement points ahead. I don't know what he's doing. He is doing something nefarious, so, and he will not... will not tell me what it is. And every time I look to see where he is, he's like in Lion's Arch or in Crystal Desert or, you know, like nowhere. I don't know. So I'm watching you, Frick. So, yeah. So I've been continuing the achievement point hunt, chipping away at old collections here and there. I have a lot of things that I haven't done, particularly in story and in some of the basic and rare collections. I'm missing a lot of stuff. So I started working on the Dry Tops coin collection.
From like 3 years ago.
I know. But hey, it pays to wait, because flying around on your Griffin, you can get that pretty quickly. But what's frustrating about it is Dolphy's guide is still not updated. It still has her numbering system, which didn't map with when ArenaNet went back in and changed the achievements and gave them their numbers for each of the coins. It doesn't match. So you have to use a second guide that maps those two together to then get, it's just... hassle.
I feel slightly robbed because I did all of that without a Springer or a Griffin, so, or a glider for that matter.
Yeah. Me too.
Oh, well. Bye. And,
That's fine.
Hey, no complaints. I'm happy to do it on a Griffin. I was gifted a free mount skin this week. Anonymously. So
anonymously.
I don't know where it came from. Yeah. I don't know where it came from.
I don't get gifted things anonymously. That's all I'm saying.
Because you don't want people to talk to you.
I know one person I don't want to talk to me right now, Alona.
Well, good luck with that word. So, for about another hour.
I don't currently plan to buy any on my own, and we will talk much more about this later. But I did use this one because it was a gift, and I unlocked the Twin Sands mount, which I really like. So it was a win-win.
Is that one of the jackals, or?
Yeah, that's the dog, the
husky looking dog.
Yes, the husky looking dog.
Oh, it's not anonymous anymore. Hashtag.
Aww. Can I say that on air?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Zero. So, Zero very graciously gifted me a free mount. And in chat, he said it came from him for reasons. So, thank you, Zero.
Aw.
And that's what I've been up to. Alona?
I'm surprised I have as much to put in here as I do, and I think I did most of it in the last 2 days, surprisingly. However, I've been working a bit more concertedly on the Druid back piece from Draconis Mons. I have a long way to go, but I'm doing what you were doing a while ago, hashtag, you know, just going through and doing the hearts for dailies. But I'm also trying to not go full bore to the point where I no longer enjoy the zone. So I'm trying to balance getting those.
Good plan.
Yeah. And I will say, though,
you are keeping your peaches, right? Peach pits. You are collecting those, you know.
I have not been to that zone, but I do have a peach, like an uneaten peach on at least any of my characters that have been in that zone.
Why?
Because it's going to be important.
No, it's not.
At some point.
Oh, my God.
An uneaten one, because I'll get it right at the end before I log off, so it's not like I'm going to consume it right before I leave.
This coming from the people who don't carry standard foods on their main characters.
This is also true.
I found food last night that fit the purpose.
Cotton candy, come on.
Cotton candy. You did have a lot of derision about that. So I do mean to consume it if I'm ever in Lake Doric, but I then always forget that it's in my inventory. So that's a bit of an issue. Regardless, I will say, back to the Druid back piece. Every time I'm in Draconis Mons, there's always someone, at least one person, sometimes a few, that ping the completed Druid back piece item. Which, you know, it's really nice because then there's like a chorus of congrats in map chat for them. And I found it to be fairly well populated right now, too. So I think a lot of people are doing this, you know, trying just in this interim between things going on. Let's go and work on
stuff
this.
Done. Yeah, whenever I see people describing parts of Guild Wars 2, this such and such a map is empty. Dry Top is empty. Like, I've never seen anybody in Dry Top. I go into Dry Top all the time. It always gets to T4. There's always people in there. I don't know how these people are. They must be going in at 4 a.m. and expecting, like, a throngs of people to surround them every time they do something. Like,
expecting throngs.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The map's populations are decent. I'm not going to say they're fantastic, but they're fine.
Well, I have been very pleasantly surprised in Draconis Mons. The guild missions have been pretty darn fun, I have to say. This last Sunday, we did the hard trek, which is 30 locations. We had 7 guildies on doing that, and we did it with nearly 8 minutes to spare, which was like, yeah, thank you, mounts. Mm-hmm. That is exclusively why we're able to do that as fast as we are. So that was great. And we actually did the puzzle, the
Angvar's Trove.
Yes, thank you. I always want to say Langmar Estate, even though I know that wasn't the right one. Yeah, I actually really like it. And then I learned something about that one, because I did not realize you had to pick up, if you're the one kiting the drake around, that you have to pick up the egg.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea about that. I thought you just had to get aggro on it, like, by firing at it, so...
Yep, and I did the shooting down the icicles bit for the first time ever, so I'd never seen what to do up top before, and I know I messed it up a bunch, and we had to redo it a couple times, but now I got it.
The redoing it was my fault, because we missed that last jump.
Yeah, like the two of you that were still up there missed the jump to the final portion, which is fine, that happens. I got annoyed when, like, people started... putting the icicles in the steam pipes before I had given the word to put them in the steam pipes, even though we'd already done it before.
We're learning.
So they should have known not to just shove them into the steam pipes, but
shove them in the steam pipes.
And I just got to finish explaining, hey, don't shove stuff into the steam pipes. And Blaze asks, so should I shove this into the steam pipe now? Like, no. Whatever.
That is pretty funny. Coming in the steam pipe.
Show title.
Yes, at some point I got my 27.5k achievement chest. I can't remember which day it was. And I may have talked about it on last show, I can't remember. But
congrats.
Yeah, so I have that. I finished the Spear Marshal Armor Collection achievement, which led to me being grilled by Hunter. As to how I was able to get that.
I wasn't aware they were on the auction house.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I I had noticed the named versions were there. So you can't look by Spur Marshall. You have to look by their, like, Salomon is the light, and I can't remember the medium and the heavy. And I just kind of kept an eye on them for a little bit after POF launched. And I was like, paid attention. I was like, okay, that's a price I'm willing to buy at. And I bought everything. So I have the full set. So I got that done. And I finished the Raptor mini collection that was one of
the time before last.
Hundreds of gold to do that.
Which led to being grilled by Hunter as to why.
Yeah. Why? You're the one that's always trying to stay at a certain gold amount, and for you to go off and spend hundreds of gold on this mini collection. You just said earlier in the show, who cares about minis?
Actually, that was before we were live.
True, yeah.
But I do, but I also, well, I like these. And I do have a lot of green mini raptors that I'm sitting on. So I need the other ones to be gone for those to go up in price. So, yeah, I did spend a lot of my in-game money on that. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with this choice, okay? And speaking of okay with choices, I bought 2 mount loot boxes for science.
I'm on the
which I will discuss. We're going to be discussing this more in Posts of Ascalon. I got the first one. I was unjazzed. I got a Skinner skin, which I was like, meh.
Skinner Scandwich? What? That's what you said.
No, Skinner skin. No. Skimmer.
When you listen to this again in the future, you will find that she said Skinner Scandwich.
Well, it's possible. I'm not going to argue that point. And the second one, I got Twin Sands, which is the one that looks like a Shiba Inu, I think it, or a Husky. Mm-hmm. It's pretty adorable. Mm-hmm. But I'm fine. I'm fine at that. I'm good for a while, but we'll be discussing this a bit later. And then hashtag and I went around to check out the woman in red current events that there's been some chatter on. Like I think the first place I saw it mentioned was that shaman had tweeted out about it. And then of course there was Wooden Potatoes video and some other things going on. So we went around and it was pretty cool. And I had a thought about where this might lead before watching or hearing the other theories. Like the one thing, and some of the other theories are pretty intriguing too. So are we going to talk about this later on, or did we want to talk about this now?
I actually don't think we have this anywhere else, so we should talk about it now.
The current events, we have a section on it.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Never mind.
So that was pretty good. But now I'm actually kind of curious what the ultimate payoff for the previous current events were. Like, was there one? Did they have an end game? Were they concluded? Is this a progression of those? Like with the, you know, chasing down the anomalies and the sparks and all these things, like, I don't know.
Yeah, there's no conclusion. There's no end game. I don't think there's supposed to be, but it really needs one.
But I need to know why we were doing that.
Yeah.
And I need to know what those anomalies were that you then had the crate oil, so you no longer saw the sad anomalies. And I need to know these things.
Yes.
But this is also cool, so I don't want to, like, poo-poo this either. And I want to know what the... Yeah, so we're going to talk about this further on. And after, so Hunter mentioned the working on Chivos for the One Path Ends. He ran us through the mini dungeon, which is kind of almost a JP in some ways in Vabby. And to follow the trend of the evening, the final fight took forever.
That's right. Because this came right after we did the Chivos, where we were trying to do Fearless.
Yeah. Hunter did it. Then you have to go through it again. And then I did it. Then we went, and I died once, so it took twice. And then hashtag did it and she died twice. Or did you die twice, or did you just give up the second?
Yeah, I just gave up.
Yeah. So we're gonna have to do it again for hashtag.
It kept healing on hashtag.
It kept healing on me. I don't know. That's right. Yeah. I gotta figure out. So I like briefly read on Dolphy as we were doing it that a minion build is good for necros.
But I don't know how you're going to power past that life siphon, because it was using life siphon on you and getting back like 10% of its health, which is...
Well, it wasn't happening for about the first 50% of the fight. I was getting him down pretty quickly, and then... Because remember, Alona, you were like, wow, that's going fast. Thanks, Alona.
I totally jinxed you.
And then I'd get to around 50%, and then suddenly he'd start life siphoning, and I couldn't recover from that.
Short confession, like, by the time you were doing this for the, like, fifth go-round...
I did not amongst, do...
No, like, mine, Alona did two, and then your did two. Yeah. Okay. By the time that rolled around, I kept forgetting to hit the alacrity thing.
You guys, so I was super diligent. I was super good at cheering you guys on with that action key. I'm like, these beggars are not helping me at all.
I forgot twice. There were two distinct times that I was distracted and I forgot. But I was pretty
I'm sorry,
on.
I was reading the internet. What?
Well, to be fair, I mean, it's hard. Like, you can't even, when you're up in the balcony, you can't move. You can't do anything except wait for a 30-second cooldown. So it is hard to stay really focused on it. Yeah, so we did that whole long thing.
I just started daydreaming.
Ugh. Yeah.
I actually tilted my camera so that I could see the person if they were on another balcony and watched when they cheered. That so I could and looked where I was to make sure we were still in opposite sync. Like, I took it very seriously, you guys.
Well, when Hunter and I did
my
it together,
role in helping both of you,
we were on the same balcony, so it was kind of like I couldn't even see myself.
Yeah, you can't move while you're up there, which is weird.
Yeah.
So, in any event, it was good to get those done. I'm very thankful for you guys, even though I just yelled at you. That you were in there.
Hey, you got it done.
We did get it done. But that so that last fight in for the mini dungeon, it was holy smokes. It took forever. There were three of us, and finally a guardian with a death wish joined us.
Oh my gosh.
Kept using a revive
we
orb.
We went through like five revive orbs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many revive orbs.
We were trying to res him too, but he just kept using the revive orb.
He or she. We don't know. They. But yeah, there was... And they were doing some pretty good healing for us. Mm-hmm. So we did a lot better once they showed up. Mm-hmm. But it was good.
Yeah, he had a lot of Aegis going on.
Yes, that was super nice. And then finally, I used 5 keys just before logging off last night. And I got the new backpack and glider combo. Which, huzzah.
Thanks for supporting loot boxes.
They were gifts. So.
More gifts? God.
And, no, they're the ones I had previously. All right. It looks super cool. If you haven't seen it, it's like floaty, glowy balls. But I'm curious how it will play, or not play, if it will conflict at all with the legendary trinket Aurora.
Hmm.
Have you got that yet, or...?
No, that's why I'm working on the Draconis Mon stuff.
Oh, right. Yes.
I spelt trinket wrong. I have to fix that. Yeah, so because those are like the floaty disco orbs, and these are kind of floaty disco orbs? I don't know. But they're floaty too. So I'm kind of unsure how they're going. If you had both, what if you just end up with this like mess of balls floating around your head? I don't know. I stand by that statement. So that was really all I did. It was, I'll have to say, last night was a lot of fun, though. And again, and guild missions were a lot of fun. And yeah, it was good times. Oh, and Randak. I had that in there and I didn't even talk about it. Randak. Boo.
Well, we have not been, like, as steady at that. Like, we get it done maybe once a week now.
Yeah. Maybe.
Okay, so every other week we post a poll on Twitter for what we call Votes of Ascalon. This week we asked, what calms you when Guild Wars 2 is having another round of outrage? And with 124 people responding, 6% of you said Zen meditation, 15% said buying mount skins, 34% said eating a pound of cake, and 46% said cats. That's a crazy amount of cat loving. And we had a few responses from our followers on Twitter. At Galio said, I'd like to add bourbon to this poll. At Arceus8 said, cake, which totally has nothing to do with it being my birthday. I think I said happy birthday before, Archie.
We did wish Arceus happy birthday.
Mm-hmm, happy birthday. At MMO Inks said, none of the above. At Gordon Norn said PUBG isn't an option.
What's PUBG?
Player Unknown Battlegrounds. It's the hottest new PvP game on Steam, etc. At What Is Clayton said, I don't see a being too busy with work and life to play anyway option.
Yeah, see, Twitter has only you have to choose four.
We could have put 10.
We could have put 100.
At That Show said, definitely buying Mount Skins. It's the only thing that will make everyone feel better. At Mathanus said, other Guild Wars 2 placement matches. If I have to deal with rage, at least I can stab people in-game, of course.
I like the caveat. Yeah. It's a good caveat.
At Flipside said, I've been playing Guild Wars 1. At Burning Beard said, the best success I found is to stay off Reddit for a few days.
And that's good advice.
And finally, at Panther Dread said, well, not Zen, but Tai Chi before Chai Tea. If I eat the whole carrot cake, and it must be the carrot cake, the sugar crash afterwards seems to last for days.
I always think Chai Tea when I hear Tai Chi. So I have to, I was wanting to tell listeners, so Hunter and I were trying to, we're DMing with hashtag and trying to come up with ideas for this last poll. Mm-hmm. And we had such a good time coming up with
we're trying to
snarky but not snarky. We sometimes got a little too snarky, but they were really funny snarky. But then we thought the funniness might not actually translate, and we would just sound really negative and angry, so we didn't go with them.
Yeah, one of Alona's was
oh no.
Let's talk about the real controversy. Who do you like most on the show? Hashtag Hunter or Alona?
I thought that was hashtags.
No.
Oh, that was one. Oh, that I had the where do you like to spend your real world money? Mortgage, food, Mount Skins. That was one of the ones. What I done. And there was another one that was similar to that was like really, it was really sarcastically.
Yeah, there was.
I can't remember. Where was it? But we didn't go. We decided to go kind of middle of the ground with this one. Mm-hmm. Although when Hunter said he said that, and we were coming up with things, and then he said buying Mount Skins. I just about killed. I laughed for about a minute and a half straight.
Who are the real victims here? Cute unpurchased skins, the player base, my wallet, or Anet devs? That was one.
That was yours.
Yeah, that was yours.
But I just love the yeah. So this was a fun one. I eating a pound of cake sold it for me. Love that one. Although, so which did you guys vote for?
Good question. I think it was cake.
I voted for cats. And I said I would explain why on the show. So here it is. So as I mentioned before, I have two cats, Boris and Natasha. And so when I'm worked up, you know, you pet your cats. They give you, like all pets, they give you joy. And so we have this thing that we call Infinity Cat. And Boris and Natasha are frenemies. But occasionally, the lion will lie down with the lamb. They're both Russian blue cats. And they, when they like, kind of curl up next to each other, it's just this gray fur, and there's just two heads on either end, and so we call it Infinity Cat. And every time we see Infinity Cat happening, all, you know, all the phones come out, all the kids take pictures, I take pictures. And it's like, it's just too cute. Cuteness overload, and it makes everyone smile. And so cats, yes, cats.
I really liked eating a pound of cake, but I voted for buying Mount Skins because
Alona.
Because it made me laugh so much as an option for the question.
And now it's time for Posts of Ascalon, where we discuss the latest news in Guild Wars 2. First up, they released a teaser for Living World Season 4 on YouTubes. Yay!
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
It was, you know, there was a lot of the footage was covering previous seasons, but it was fantastically edited and put together, and the music on point.
So good.
Yeah, that musical tone that feels like it's getting louder and louder, but it never quite reaches a crescendo. That was really good.
Yep. And we were talking about this before. It's that combined with the very steady drum beat, which is, it's a great beat, like pattern and beat. And then that there's that under or overlay of just increasingly getting louder and louder and louder.
I'm like, yes.
Oh, what's
and
happening?
The way it kind of has that little like right when Demi Beetlestone gets hit, and it pulls back a little bit. Oh, it's so good, so good. So
yeah. Well, that was I think maybe the most noticeable. But there was things timed to beats all the way through.
Yeah,
that was definitely a prominent one. But there are lots of those. And yeah, it just so good. And I did end up watching WP's breakdown of it. It wasn't quite as long as a lot of them because the only new content is right at the end after the after the closing of it. So it was pretty interesting. You see Ritlock there, and some stuff up in the sky.
So the new season drops on November 27th, right?
8th,
Tuesday, 28th?
Yeah.
Yes. Tuesday the 28th.
The day before the next show.
Right before the next show, which is perfect timing. Thank you, ArenaNet, for thinking of us and our streaming schedule. So,
actually, I was generally concerned that we would be off by a week because of how things dropped last week. So.
Yeah. Sounds like Jersey is pretty concerned as well.
That was not Jersey.
That's Boris. That was...
Cat was making that noise.
He's sneezing. Boris. Okay. And then there were updates. So we had some world polished notes. In Lion's Arch, a bug was fixed that enabled certain NPCs to wander up onto the dais with the Black Lion traders, making them more difficult to interact with.
So annoying. So glad they finally fixed that. So annoying.
Which one?
This would have been the trading post where NPCs would wander right up and you would have to choose to move over to the right or the left instead of just running straight up to the NPC.
Right.
Hopefully they fixed the bank too, because it's the same problem.
Yeah, the bank is pretty cluttered. So as far as general changes, or updates, some new collection achievements for Path of Fire skins have been added. Consumable karma bonuses that drop from Path of Fire events are now automatically used when entering your inventory. Old copies will have to be used manually, but will no longer drop.
Yeah, I don't know why they made that change exactly. I mean, it's less stuff to double click, but
I kind of liked clicking on those.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. But going back to the collection achievements for a sec, they added a collection for Mordant skins, Beastmaster skins, Bounty Hunter skins, I think, Sunspear skins, and...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know, at least 6 new collections for all the skins you can get.
I need to take a look at those. Do they have good achievement points attached?
I don't know, actually.
Well, then.
It'd be awfully expensive to get, though, except for Sunspear exotics, which are apparently on the trading post.
Actually, but I still think their prices have gone up. Well, yeah, they've gone up in price.
Rewards for several major events in Path of Fire have been overhauled, including Serpent's Ire and Jenundu Rising. Hunter, what was the reward? What were the rewards like for Serpent's Ire?
I don't know, actually, because I'm not sure if we did this before the rewards were fixed or not. Hmm. I think the rewards came in afterwards because all I got was an achievement point and the usual rewards for Serpent's Ire, I think.
Right.
And then I got like that weird box for doing the maw.
Right-clicking a bouncy chest will automatically take the contents if there is no selectable item for most achievements and reward tracks.
Oh, that is so good.
It's so good. It is so good. It's working for dailies now.
Yes, so, and fractal boxes, and just so
good.
I'm not
sure if I've even tested. I think I still left-click them. I should right-click them, apparently.
Yep, you should. Oh.
Yeah.
Several items can no longer be used in combat by level 1 characters or in the tutorial instances, as they can block player progress through the personal story, and this would include the Lily of the Elan Pass, the Spear Marshal's Plea, and Portal Scrolls to Central Tyria.
That makes sense.
Yep. Curious, by level 1 characters, so that would be just brand new. I mean, you don't stay level 1 longer than doing that first story level, right?
Yeah, you're level 2 by the time you leave the tutorial.
Right. So that's just to prevent some botting things, right?
I'm not sure.
That would make sense.
I guess, yeah.
Maybe. Pulsing brand sparks can now be crafted by all crafting disciplines. Yay?
Who could make them before?
I don't know.
I think they're supposed to drop before. From stuff, and you get them in the new reward boxes. You use them to craft some of the new skins. I think the bounty hunter skin? No?
The
Brand
Spark Jewel, for instance?
Maybe?
Yeah, I don't know.
That sounds good. The Primeval Steward in the Crystal Highlands now offers some additional crafting recipes, and some older items have had their costs rebalanced. I haven't checked that out yet.
Yeah, he's who you get the recipes for the funerary stuff.
Right. Okay. Yes, in the temple, right?
Yeah.
Yep. A useless item called Black Diamond, which was not actually used in crafting recipes, has been removed from loot tables and replaced with the useful crafting material of the same name. The old item, as well as the account-bound Brandspark Jewel and Sunset Jewel items, can be traded with some vendors in the Free City of Abnoon in exchange for the useful Black Diamond crafting material. So it appears there's a bug as well. The Black Diamond Brandspark Sunset Jewel merchant exchange is bugged. The merchants temporarily are disabled or removed while ArenaNet looks into the pricing issue. So I guess this isn't quite resolved yet.
Yeah. This note would have come from the wiki, or the Gamers 2 wiki, so it may or may not have been fixed by now. We're not sure.
Actually, you can go to the Lair of the Forgotten, and one of the merchants is still working, and you can trade your Sunset Jewels and your Brand Sparks for Black Diamonds. I never actually saw one of the fake black diamonds that you couldn't use for anything, so I don't know. Did you guys see any of those? I didn't even know that was a thing.
I had not some black diamonds in my inventory, but I don't think they were the... I don't know. I didn't really pay attention to them.
Not that I had paid attention to.
Yeah. So, chests, including buried chests... Oh, no, sorry. Let's try that again. Chests... including buried treasure and superior buried treasure, have had some rewards changed. I haven't checked this out yet. Have either of you?
Nope.
I don't think I've done any of the buried treasures stuff. So.
All right. Fixed bug bugs preventing some of the collectibles related to the Funari weapon and armor collections from awarding the right materials. So the monster-specific elegy mosaics now can be consumed for a single elegy mosaic currency.
What were they before?
Well, you would get like this, the legendaries would drop a their name elegy mosaic. Mm-hmm. And then you would have to like exchange that for an elegy mosaic somehow. I forget how. But it was just too complicated, so they changed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Charged gems for the Glorify the Golden Heart collection now give 20 contracts when consumed.
Silence.
I don't know what this is.
So this is the other thing for me, though.
More trade contracts? Like, they're so easy to get. I wish that they gave something else. I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah, but, well, this is a collection where you would defeat a powerful djinn somewhere, and it would give you a gem in exchange, like an adamantine gem, and then you would double-click that gem, and it'd give you, like, karma or whatever, but it would add to your collection, and then eventually you go over to Zomerus's lair. That's what this is.
Oh, yeah, I did that. Okay. Yeah. I see. All right. The material for crafting ascended Funari weapons and armor has been added. You can find the new intact mosaic item wherever elegy mosaics can be earned. Legendary bounties, superior buried treasure, and certain large-scale events throughout the Crystal Desert. I actually got one of these. I think I might have gotten it from the Maw event, possibly. I'm not sure.
Probably.
But I wasn't sure because it was a new thing and I wasn't sure what it was. So it's still sitting in my inventory. And I got to figure out how to take care of that and use it. Because it's a crafting item, right?
Yeah, I'm not really sure about that whole system yet. So.
Yeah. Renowned merchants throughout the Crystal Desert have new recipes available.
I think they basically just, instead of like dividing up where you could find the recipes, have basically put them on all renowned vendors. I'm not really sure.
That's good. I mean, so that you don't have to do all the hearts if you're looking for something specific. I like that. Priory researcher Elisa now has new recipes available.
I haven't had a chance to talk to her since this change was made, but she used to sell the bounty hunter recipes, I think.
Removed the ability to sell piles of Alonian trade contracts to vendors. Oh.
Yes. So
you can't make gold off of those piles anymore.
No. Nope.
Boo.
Used to be like a silver per trade contract or something like that.
Well, and it wasn't, so, you know, normally your trade contracts, not the piles, but the normal ones just go into currency.
Yeah.
But then there were the piles and you could stack those up and that was at least something. So I guess maybe that was messing with the economy.
I don't know.
Too much?
I never sold mine to a vendor. I just, you know, double clicked them and made them into the currency.
Oh,
yeah.
I sold mine because trade contracts are a dime a dozen. So,
well,
I was part of the problem apparently.
You were
with my 2 gold.
Is that what you would sell them for?
Well, 2.5. Right? Because it's 1 Ooh. Silver per. So if you had a stack.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Scribing recipes for Path of Fire matrices now use 50 regular quartz crystals instead of 1 charged quartz.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's a good change or a bad change. Anything? I don't. Yeah, it's fine, I guess.
What are the crystal Path of Fire matrices?
That's what I wasn't sure of.
So there's this new scribing item you can buy off the scribing vendor, which is a matrices, and you can combine various crafting materials with these matrices to make Path of Fire matrices of various types, like quartz matrices. And it's kind of expensive and it's kind of annoying and I don't like it. That's why I haven't made any new scribing decorations for the guild hall. Because they all require those matrices.
It was also the time for the balance patch. And we're not necessarily going to read skill updates. We've decided that that takes a long time. We don't want to. So for this, they've said several new enemies in Path of Fire have attacks that can launch the player into the air. So with this update, we are changing several stun break skills to be usable while in the air. Certain types of skills, such as shadow steps and skills that summon creatures, are exempt from this change, as allowing them to be used in the air would create undesirable gameplay behaviors. So what do you guys think of that?
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense that there would be new ways to stun break while you're in the air. Since, like, there's a lot of stuff that shoves you into the air now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I was thinking, like, there's a lot, like, mantras. Like, the instant cast stuff would be nice. Something you have charged, and it's supposed to be instant cast. So that makes sense to me, particularly. As far as the actual profession skills, we're just going to read the preamble for their rationale for things. For Elementalist, the Weaver's Sword has been underperforming a bit when compared to several of the core Elementalist weapons. So we're tuning up several sword skills in this update to put their damage numbers in a better position. Additionally, Conjure Earth Shield is being updated to be a source of barrier, which we felt would be a good thematic fit for the earth skills it provides. Lastly, we'll be looking to tone down a few builds that increase damage exponentially against larger targets. So do either of you play Ellie enough to know how these have impacted your gameplay?
Nope.
Not at all.
No, neither.
No input to give pretty much for anything in this section.
No, I mean, I've played Weaver Sword when it first came out, and I haven't had time to really mess with it anymore, so I wouldn't notice.
Yeah. For Engineer, their updates are focused around the Hollowsmith and improving the synergy of the Photon Forge mode with other skills. To that end, the sword is seeing some improvements to smooth out rotations and to make heat stocking more available. Additionally, several Hollowsmith skills are gaining combo finishers to synergize with core and Engineer's variety of fields. I have not even played Hollowsmith at all, so over my head.
Well, one of the main mechanics for Hollowsmith is that, like, you build up this heat and...
with the charge.
You do more damage, but you take more damage as well, I believe.
Mm. For Mesmer, the update is focused around the Mirage's axe. We've cleaned up several bugs and animation hangups that could cause the weapon to feel less smooth than intended. Additionally, we're adding camera refocusing to skills that shadow step you to points around your target. These skills will attempt to face your camera behind your character after the shadow step occurs so that it's easier to keep focus on your target. And I have been running Axe Mirage on Alona, and that is definitely... I've noticed this change. The auto attack feels smoother. It always felt like there was a delay with a lot of the Axe skills. Like, you'd hit the button and nothing would happen for, like, a beat, and then it would do it. So it definitely feels a lot smoother. So I can speak to this one. So,
moving on to the Guardian. For this update, we are focusing on the usability of Firebrand mantras, which we feel are currently underperforming. By increasing the radius of these skills, we hope that they will be easier to use to support parties in conjunction with the existing tome skills. A few Firebrand traits are also having their internal cooldowns adjusted to better synchronize with each other. Hmm. Any thoughts?
I have not played Firebrand.
We are just full of useful information.
We're knocking it out of the park here.
Necromancer! Yay! The Reaper specialization from Heart of Thorns is seeing a few significant changes in this update, primarily centered around Reaper's Shroud. We drastically increase the damage of all Shroud attacks while simultaneously increasing the rate at which life force is lost while in Shroud. These changes are aimed at allowing the Reaper to output more damage at the cost of some defense. In conjunction with these changes, we are also revisiting some underperforming Shroud-based traits to focus their power into specific high points centered around entering or leaving Shroud. This is fantastic. It is really good. I have not played Reaper since Poff, but I like that this appears to be adding some more viable build diversity amongst necromancers. So the Reaper being more of the power-based, the Scourge being more Condi-based. So good stuff all around. I think, I can't remember the exact numbers, but I think some of the damage increases are like 30%. It's pretty, for some of the Shroud attacks, it's quite a big change.
Mm-hmm. So your interpretation of these changes is quite positive.
Yes.
And
I think
the
so.
Usual necro pity party is not happening?
I don't think so. I mean, from what I've seen, from what I've heard, people seem pretty pleased with these changes because instead of, like, what I would have seen them doing, what I would have expected from, or, you know, most, like, you know, most necros who think that ArenaNet is out to get them, would think like, oh, okay, if Shroud is overpowered, then instead of beefing up Reaper, we'll just nerf Shroud. But instead, this seemed like an attempt to make Reaper more a more viable playstyle. So yeah,
I did
it's
think
good.
It was interesting that for the bulk of these, it's been updates to or rebalancing the new elite specs that came with Path of Fire. Uh-huh. But for Necro, it was for the Heart of Thorns one,
which makes sense because Scourge is really
though.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It's in a good place. All right, mm-hmm. Ranger. In addition to improving the reliability of some of the new Path of Fire pet attacks, we also did a pass on the Soul Beast stances, which we felt needed a bit more tuning. Core Ranger is also seeing an increase in the number of targets affected by spirits, which we hope will help ease the burden for raid groups, feeling they need to always take two Rangers in every group for full coverage. Huzzah!
You know what else would fix that if spirits moved with you again?
Oh, yeah.
I miss that so much.
Finally, we are making a big change to Grace of the Land and moving its unique enhancement to be a standardized might gain instead. This trait has been too dominant even after earlier reductions and is providing too much bonus damage to a group from a specialization that is otherwise focused around healing and support. Coupled with changes to the warrior's failing strength, and the Deadeye's fire for effects traits, we'd like to see more professions that are capable of providing significant amounts of might in group settings. So this is really about balancing raids so that you didn't have to take two Rangers, which is
And it's like a huge change for warriors because there's no real need for a phalanx strength warrior anymore. So I guess really opens up
what
warriors. You can do with your traits.
No.
I know, Alona. That's your
what
build.
Except mine's the PS Condi, so it's a little bit different. Mm. It's not a base phalanx strength build. So yeah,
it'll be interesting to see what happens with all this stuff over the next few weeks for raids, especially with the new raid coming out on the 28th. So Revenant, the offhand sword weapon for the Revenant, had a bit of an identity crisis. While the main hand sword is primarily an offensive weapon, the offhand feels like it's trying to be both a defensive and utility weapon at the same time. We are reworking both skills on this weapon to be more accurately positioned as an offensive power option for the offhand slot. We also took a hard look at the invocation trait line and removed several of the harder-to-use traits based on energy thresholds. We've replaced them with new traits that reinforce the themes of energy management and legend swapping to strengthen the themes of this line.
Have either of you looked at this?
Nope.
I have to admit I haven't, but I think I might, after this, log on to my Revenant and take a look.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what the offhand sword did, but I can't recall. I remember the offensive options for the sword on Revenant were like your best power option, but I don't remember what the offhand did. But it did anything that removes the requirements for energy thresholds is fantastic because there's no way you can maintain energy if you actually want to like use skills and stuff and just instead of just standing there auto attacking. So moving on to Thief. This update for the Thief is focused mostly around the Deadeye specialization and fixing bugs that were hindering them from reaching their full potential. Fire effect for effect has also been simplified slightly as we felt the range restriction on the second set of might and short radius on might application made this trait difficult to use. This improvement, along with the changes to the warrior's phalanx strength and the druid's grace of the land, should offer multiple professions the opportunity to grant group might. One important balance change in the update is the change to unhindered combat. While thieves, and by extension daredevils, are intended to be slippery combatants, the escape potential for this trait was a little too high. So I can't really speak to unhindered combatant because I can't remember what exactly it did. But, I mean, I guess it's a good thing that they're opening up might generation to other professions. A little bit of a kick in the teeth to warriors, which have seen a lot of reduction in their importance.
Do you think it's muddying? Do you think it's muddying the water too much as far as making each class feel unique enough?
Possibly.
If it is, it's a continuation of things that have happened in the past, because it used to be only Mesmer's had confusion, and then Necro's got it. Mm-hmm. And it's been around for a while that they do this to just like, you know what? They've had a good run. Let's share the love.
Yeah.
Let someone else have some fun with this for a while. And, you know, it's what it is.
Well, I think the idea is essentially this, that you don't want to be required to bring one type of class to a specific thing every single time. You need to be able to diversify and open up roles to different classes so that you're not required to bring, okay, you need two chronos, you absolutely need two chronos, that's it, that's all. And you don't want that sort of thing going on. So you don't want two phalanx strength warriors, etc. Mm-hmm. So this is why they're doing that, I would say.
Good deal.
Did I read Warrior already, or have I forgotten?
Nope, you didn't read it yet.
But it's the last one, so you're in the home stretch.
Okay, so Warrior. Axe is a warrior weapon that is perhaps more damage-focused than any other weapon in the game. However, in some cases, it was actually a damage loss to use certain skills. The Axe enhancements in this update are intended to make sure that every skill can be a damage increase over auto-attacking to properly position the Axe as a damage weapon for Warriors. We are
Axe for Warrior. I love Axe for Warrior. And then I'm like, people would like, you know, it's not a great weapon. You don't do it. I'm like, oh, but I love Axe for Warrior thematically. Okay. So I'm excited about this.
We are also normalizing the functionality of Berserker Stance and Balance Stance to be shorter with stronger effects in order to prevent long stretches of stability and resistance chaining. Finally, we are making a reduction to the might duration of phalanx strength. This trait is a core component of many raid groups, but we feel that with the increased prevalence of other might sources, the power of this trait needed to come down a little bit in order to allow other options to be considered. We'll be monitoring them all closely and tweaking where necessary.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. It was a good run. It's not like I raid every week.
The main thing I've been hearing about the balance patch is that nothing changed so drastically that, well, yeah, nothing changed drastically.
Right, so nothing was broken, I feel like. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't seen anything about a class feeling like, well, that's it for me. I can't do X, Y, Z anymore. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Which is good.
But do you think there would have been if the balance patch hadn't been overshadowed?
I think if something was truly wrong with the balance patch, that it would have made just as big a splash as certain other controversies.
Okay. So, there has also been a Blackline Trading Company gem store update. There are new items and promotions. For a limited time, a new set of Shifting Sands weapon skins are available from the Blackline Weapon Specialist for one Blackline claim ticket. Blackline chess keys are available in the special category of the gem store for 125 gems.
Pretty good set.
They are. I don't know if there is any that I... I thought, I want each and every one of this set, but I thought it was a really good set. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it's one of the better sets in the, over the past several sets, I would say.
Mm-hmm. It felt, if some of the shapes felt like shapes that they've been doing a lot lately.
Yeah, it's not even, it's not even that complicated an effect. It's basically just sand sort of shimmering off of and falling off of weapons. Yeah. I think there's like a couple of sets where you have like dripping water or something, and it reminded me of that. Just they just shifted the effect to sand.
It has a similar color scheme to things like the Scourge's Torch. It has the same kind of feel, even though it looks very different.
Yeah. I was going to say, they're very similar to, like, the magic that makes the jackal.
Yep.
Made these weapons.
Mm.
That's what it looks like to me. Except hopefully, is the jackal sentient?
Are mounts sentient?
Anyway.
Can mounts think?
This is very important information. For a limited time, the new reforged Warhound mount skin is available in the style category of the gem store for a colossal 2,000 gems. They did not have the word colossal in there. So that works out to like $25, which in... So we're coming at this a week late. So we've had a little bit of... Things have settled a bit.
Mm.
And we also have like the sober second thought sort of thing available to us. And I have heard a lot of people say that that is not out of line for mount skins in games.
I don't know about that.
But I don't know about that either. But that's what I've... That's
but we had, what, so we debated what... about this the other night. And the debate is $25 out of line for a mount skin versus a mount? And then it became, what is a mount skin versus what is a mount? Because in Guild Wars... Your mounts each have unique skills versus other games where you're buying basically a speed buff. And so you can have, you know, like here's your horse and here's your leopard and it's built on the same rig. It's just a different look to it, but it does the same thing, but it's called a different mount. Is that different?
I feel like you're overthinking it slightly.
Well, but the premise being... It's $25 reasonable in a different game where you would be essentially buying a completely new mount? Is it different in Guild Wars when you're not really buying a new mount? You're just buying a skin for a single mount.
Yeah. Now, this one in particular is it's a full redo of the jackal.
Right. It doesn't even look like a jackal.
No. And it's pretty spectacular looking. I do think 2,000 is too high, but it does look really cool.
I like it. I like how it doesn't have the same kind of rune pattern. Yeah. Like it's not exactly the same.
It's like the Balthazar armor.
Beast thing, right? So it looks kind of like the war beast.
Well, that's pretty, it's
the Hounds of Balthazar. You mean no?
No, I mean, never mind. Yeah.
$25 is kind of outrageous. I mean, in the other games, when you buy a mount from the gem store, it's, I think, like closer to $10. I can't think of a game that sells them for $25.
Well, if you compare it to outfits, even costumes in Guild Wars 1, those were $10.
Yeah.
You can get Path of Fire for $30.
Right.
So to sell a mount for $25 is kind of insane.
It does seem... And, yeah. I mean...
Not very micro.
No. And yes. Talk about that in a little bit. Yep.
As in, right now, the Black Lion Stables are pleased to open their doors and offer a new mount adoption license. Or offer new mount adoption licenses. Each license will allow you to claim a random mount skin from the Black Lion Stables. And they're available in the style category in the gem store for 400 gems each. There are 30 skin varieties with a large variety in styles. You could get a 10-pack for 3,400 gems. And while it's over now, I'm bringing it up here as well, because you could get the full set for 9,600 gems, which... Whoa, that's like over over $120 US. Yeah. Now, granted, there's 30 of them. And
but...
Yes. So they have multiple Jai channels. And if you, with the adoptions, you only get the skins you don't already, haven't already unlocked. It's not possible to receive duplicates, which is good. Let's just focus on the positive here. That's good. I think we were all
disappointed.
We were annoyed. Excited.
We went through the various stages of grief.
Disgusted.
I don't think I was ever disgusted, to be perfectly honest, but disappointed. Yeah. I was certainly disappointed. I've watched the variety of YouTubers videos, Wooden Potatoes, Bog Otters, Peaches, Inkses, videos on them, and I honestly can't say I can add a whole lot more to the conversation that they haven't already talked about. I think all of them, and probably a large number of other people in the community, have had very reasonable,
mm-hmm.
tempered responses. Like, they're not saying that they're not disappointed, but they're talking it through, and I kind of agree with them. So good, but
yeah. So the only thing that I wanted to add was the perspective of working with teenagers, and using this game in a classroom setting. So we had a big discussion last week about loot boxes and RNG and gambling and games, and I was very surprised to see the outrage boil up out of my students who, you know, these words trigger strong emotions from other games. And then when I explained kind of what was happening in Guild Wars and how the mount skins, you know, how that whole adoption licensing was working, they were really concerned. In general, most of my students felt like it's problematic to introduce gambling in a game that is not rated at a more mature level. In other words, it's rated for children.
Let's not forget that Guild Wars 2 already has gambling in the form of Black Lion Chess, and I've not been happy mm-hmm. with that from day one.
Right.
Just saying.
That's absolutely true. But and I would say that's almost like a gateway into this, because those mm-hmm. are a little bit cheaper. And then mounts, but gosh, mounts are flashy. You know, when you're talking about Black Lion, the chests, if you get a weapon or you get
But they're a little bit death by a thousand cuts, because you could spend 125 gems and get the most amazing thing, or you could spend like 1,000 gems and get nothing.
Yeah, that's very true.
So
but I feel like the mounts are that much more appealing, because they're really flashy. I mean, you think about like a legendary, you get footfalls and you get effects, but it's small. A mount, you can't ignore it. It's like right there. It's
big.
It takes up your screen. It's big. it's colorful. It's bright. So you can see how that would be. You would feel. I can see how, particularly young people, but I think everybody actually, you feel left out if you're standing in Lion's Arch and everybody else has got their, you know, their nice and dyed and special mounts, and you're there on your, you know, your little brown thing. Yeah. So most of my students, I would say they're concerned about the gambling from the perspective of the rating of the game, and that perhaps there should be some sort of warning in these games, and not just singling Guild Wars out, but perhaps, you know, this is part of the larger conversation amongst games that in America there should possibly be some sort of rating that is affected by
some
gambling.
Pressure on the ESRB to rate games as gambling if they have gambling in them.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I do like Black Lion Keys, but I totally 100% agree with that. Like, I mean, I'm an adult woman who has disposable income, and I'm making a choice.
Yeah.
I'm not a child. I'm not a younger person who maybe has not figured out finances, although arguably I haven't really figured out finances either. But, you know, there's a difference. And
agreed.
Yeah. I know this smacks a little bit of do as I say, not as I do, but I think it's fair to have a rating system for something like that. Absolutely. Like, obviously I don't have a huge problem with it as a concept,
mm-hmm.
but it needs to be, it should be flagged in some fashion. I do think
I don't
that's
know
fair.
If you two follow gaming news and the like, but over the past week, the talk hasn't been about Guild Wars 2. It's been about Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Yes.
And their use of loot boxes to put stuff in that actually changes gameplay. So I give credit to Anet I give credit to Anet for not changing gameplay with their loot boxes.
Just cosmetics.
Just cosmetics. Yeah. But it still feels like gaming companies are out to get us and our money, and like not in a friendly way, in a fair way, not in a way that any gamer actually appreciates. Like a ripoff.
We talked earlier about how, if they had run it like a significant discount on skins and made them really cheap, I think Anet would have made a ton of money. I think everybody would have been willing to pay gems, and instead of only a few, the whole argument of, the whales versus the whatevers, the normals, that only a few can afford to pay the 120. Would you have made more if you had catered to the normals and made it possible for all of them to be able to buy what they want? People want to spend money in game. People want to support ArenaNet and the devs, and they want this end game fun, flashy, options. So if they want it and you provide it to them and you're making money, it's a win-win all around.
Yeah. And I'm kind of curious how many of the 9,600 gems for the full set actually sold. Like, I'm curious how many people actually, pulled out the credit card and said, sure, this is worth $100+.
I fear the worst, because I fear that there's enough people that actually paid the money and got all the skins. And
what is enough? What is enough, though,
I feel like it's not going to dissuade Anet from trying this crap in the future. They said that they're not going to try this crap in the future. However, it is like this is not the first time we've complained about them taking the gem store too far. And it just feels like, every time we blow up at them, they'll back off. But then a few months later, they're back at it, trying some different arrangement that'll rip people off even more. And then it's just like over and over again, because people have already forgotten about, what were they called? The memory boxes with the season one items in them, 400 gems each. That's a similar price point right there.
Yeah.
And so, people didn't like those.
I do agree. I think a few of the YouTubers talked about this, that if they had released them slightly differently, or perhaps bundled them by type of mount or something, they're very likely may not have been as huge of an outcry. And I feel that that's probably true. That said, I've gotten kind of, even though I didn't vote for Zen meditation, I've gotten kind of Zen with this to a certain degree, because I was thinking about it. So 400 gems, if I say, you know what, I'm willing to spend 400 gems once a month for one of these.
Yeah.
And then whatever I get whatever. And it's, and try to maybe do it with the spirit in which it's in, that I do believe it was intended by.
Oh, that is awfully naive. Think they're all gumdrops and hearts of trying to make these mount adoption licenses? Please.
I am it's supposed to be.
Fun?
I think it was. I think they legitimately thought it would be fun.
The whole grab bag.
I don't think
mentality.
So at all, because they wouldn't have priced it at 3,400 gems for the full 30. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
The thing is, they're not all 10. Created. They're not all created equal, right? There are some skins that are really Like, a $400 skin is, it does seem like a really great price for, you know, some of the...
$400 skin?
400 gem.
Jeez, woman.
But then there's the others that it's like the horn is pointing down instead of up, and 400 seems too much. The thing is, I would actually probably buy some of those.
Evening the thing.
Yeah, maybe it's evening, but I would buy some of those lower, you know, lower effort skins, because I kind of like that, and I like that Guild Wars lets people who like, you know, sparkly things have their sparkly things. But I also like a little more of the realistic and also painterly style that, you know, Guild Wars is mm-hmm. known for. And so I do appreciate some of the mounts that are a little less flashy, but I don't know that I would RNG... for them
your way through them.
I would like them partly because they open up the die channels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, we're not going over it here, at the very least not reading it out loud. the response from Mo and Inks has a very extensive video talking about that particular portion of it, and yeah, I think the perhaps we've gone too far. I kind of feel like that message was received. That said, I will say there was probably a little bit of it's not that there shouldn't have been a reaction, and it's not that there shouldn't have been a negative reaction, but sometimes the reactions went a little too far.
Sometimes it was misplaced. It's things like attacking the devs and telling, you know, devs should lose their jobs over this and things like that is ridiculous because
or swearing
they are
at
not
them or,
yeah, that is yeah. not that's not okay, yeah. you know,
or so, death threats over the whole Star Wars Battlefront thing because yeah. there were death threats going out.
Yeah.
So like that's not cool. It's a game.
Right.
Now that said, this is a when there are things that feel predatory, people can get very upset about that, which is understandable. However, death threat's not good.
No.
Final thought for me is that, you know, ultimately this is a digital space. So when you put artificial barriers against people just simply being able to buy exactly what they want, it is... Mm-hmm. It's offensive and predatory and ridiculous. And yeah, I think we can all agree that if they had just had better prices, this probably wouldn't have been a controversy, but it's ridiculously priced and stupid.
Yeah. That said, the artists have done a bang up job.
On some of them.
No, I would say on all of them.
I disagree.
Even ones that don't necessarily appeal to me, having the additional die channels and patterns are a nice option. But then there are ones that it's so good. And actually, we did want to talk about this a little bit. Specifically, Peachy's video, when she was going through, it was delightful to watch her react to the different types of mounts and everything. And when it got to the Shiba Inu or... Husky, I haven't quite figured out which one it's supposed to be, the jackal mount, and she was so delighted when she saw it, and then she used one box and got that skin, and her absolute joy was infectious. Like, I was genuinely happy for her. Like, this is amazing that you got the one skin that you loved that much. But the other side of that is that we kind of think, like, what if you had got the one skin that you liked the least? How would that have changed that entire video?
It would have turned into that video she made years ago.
My other thing wasn't even that long ago.
She compacted her inventory and had to rearrange her entire inventory.
Do you know what? I go back and watch that on occasion because it delights. I love that video so much. But yeah, like so... But at the same time... I was genuinely really happy and excited that she had this visceral reaction when she saw this particular skin. It was way over the top. any other reaction she, like, she liked a lot of them, but this one was like squeals of joy when she saw it. And then that was the one, like, I was like, oh man, I am so happy for you right now. But again, if she had got like one of the ones that she was less jazzed about, that would have been a very, very different video, I think, in the end. Anyway, we've talked about this a while.
Have we? No.
Have we? Even though I think we said we were just going to skim over it. any last thoughts from you guys before I move on?
No.
I think we're good.
Okay. 22 minutes on that. We're... Was it just yesterday?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yes, it was.
The salvaged forged helm and gloves were added to the gem store. I don't have a price for those for some reason here. They are actually, I'm not super jazzed about the helm, but I'm not crazy about headpieces in general that cover the entire head. But it looks pretty cool. I can see some really great outfits being made from this. There are also some returning items. The Infinite Unbound Magic Gathering Tools are available for 2,700 gems. And the Mingus's Agony for 600 gems is only available for 3 days. And by the time we post this, it might actually be gone. No, I think about it.
It'll always be Menzies, frankly. I'm not pronouncing that Mingus or whatever.
I feel like not mentioning the 400 gems each for the salvaged forged and helm gloves that has been posted for my edification and then bolded and then highlighted in yellow to make sure I noticed it.
And you did.
I did. I'm like, what's going on? Oh, yeah, that's helpful. There were under improvements, which I find that an odd word for this particular thing, but the Black Lion chest has been updated to the Mysterious Sands chest and can be previewed for a full list of its contents. It's very similar to some of the materials chests for guaranteed items that they've had in the past, but this one specifically also has currencies and items from Poff.
And the new...
Well, I'm not done.
Okay. Well, hurry it up then.
The Black Lion material bag returns with the Black Lion material bag Alona. It's been added as a new guaranteed item. So that's the one with the material items. As well as the new Wild Magic Backpack Glider combo is available as an uncommon drop for the duration of the Mysterious Sands chest. And that is the one I didn't even realize was in there. I got it and I think it's wonderful. It's really quite good. Have you looked at it yet?
Briefly.
Look at it.
Didn't look particularly interesting to me. Just like electrified with some orbs. And
orbs. Yeah. Yeah, but this is you can get like a cacophony of balls around your head if you get that and Aurora. It'll be awesome.
So it is not dyeable. It is kind of cool. I do like some of the gliders that are a little more see-through, that don't take up as much as of the screen, that you can see where you're landing easily.
Is that a swipe at the Norn Spirit of the Raven glider?
Yes. How did you know?
Because it's huge.
It's ginormo and bright.
You know what I haven't seen? I haven't seen anybody on the Meteor trying to land.
What?
I wonder what that's like. No,
I've seen
a few
people.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I see it all the time.
Okay. So... Yeah. They also released new current event stuff this week. There's no new achievements, but two corpses were added to the game in two different zones with some dialogue attached when you interact with their bodies. Particularly if you go to these corpses on a necromancer, they will have some extensive things to read. I don't know if you want to say what actually is said. We don't have it written here, so I'm going to say no.
Do you want to spoil it?
No. Also, if you kneel by the Grenth statue in Lornar's Pass, you get a new sort of green effect when you do that, and you can see like runic lettering appearing as you kneel.
Which appears to be, apparently people say it's just gibberish. So
New Crichton lettering, I assume.
Mm-hmm. We're not sure if it's new or old Crichton, but it's Crichton.
It's kind of a mix, yeah.
Okay. You can approach the necromancer NPC near the shadow behemoth after interacting with the corpse for some special dialogue. Well, not dialogue, but some text to read. Mm-hmm. And there is some mention of a red lady. Where was that? I forget.
That's at the Grenth statue, I think. Well, it's the body guy there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a lot of speculation going on. You guys got any theories to impart?
When we were just going through, and I said to Ashley, this almost feels like a preamble to a raid that's in the underworld.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my initial guess.
That was my first thought. Yeah, something to do with Doom. Or...
Yes.
Yeah. But that doesn't really explain the Red Lady comment. My thought for the Red Lady was that it's Balthazar's herald, because she doesn't get killed anywhere in Poff, does she? So she's just out there wandering around without a god to follow.
Well, and then some of the other theories that have been tossed around is Scarlet.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Then Scarlet was in the teaser trailer.
I mean,
but that
briefly.
Was partly because, well, yeah, fairly significantly. And then the other one was
Livia.
There was Livia, and then you know, I was kind of wondering,
Countess Anise.
Also kind of wondering, what about Dimmy Beetlestone?
That was what I was just going to say. Yes, stole my thunder.
Sorry.
No, she's good.
Dead.
She is, but this is underworld. Death.
Oh, for God's sake. Nah, I'm saying it's got to be the Balthazar's Herald.
Okay.
Because it always felt to me like there was a story here and it's not being told, so where is it? Maybe it was just like cut storyline or something, but maybe she'll come back during the story season 4.
So remember in the trailer for, was it season 4 or season 3? Like was it One Path Ends, where there was all that speculation and it ended up, you know, like of that one character that we were looking at on the screen, that it was like an NPC. Is it a priestess? Is it a priestess of Balthazar? Blah, 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 blah. Did that person have red hair?
I don't recall.
I thought that was the person. I don't want to ruin in case people. Well, we've ruined this already. The I thought that ended up being Livia.
Was it?
I have no idea. Probably.
I don't remember. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. There's an upcoming Black Friday sale from November 24th to 27th. Anyone who spends $50 or more at the official Guild Wars 2 merchandise store will receive a unique code, which can be redeemed in game for a miniature egg. Each egg contains one random mini, which are tiny models of beloved fan-favorite monsters and characters from across Tyria. As an added bonus, players can also use these minis as components for Mystic Forge recipes, featuring a wide variety of unique game-inspired men's and women's apparel, plushies, and accessories for the home and office. The merchandise store truly offers something for everyone on your holiday shopping list. You have to spend $50?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is...
mini?
And you get a mini? I mean... It doesn't sound like they're unique minis. It sounds like the blue minis you get for like 10 silver.
Well, it's random. You get the egg.
See, this is the thing. So why are they doing an RNG thing right after this whole blow up?
It's 50 real world dollars, and you might get, you know, like
a minotaur.
Or like a Drake. Yeah.
How is this a Black Friday sale? Black Friday is supposed to be incredibly discounted products. Here you have to spend $50, and the only benefit you get is a mini egg.
Random mini.
Doesn't feel good.
Gems would be
cheering
cool.
for them. Ugh.
You know what would have, like, if you spend $50, you get like 500 gems or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that would have been a cool one. Not that I want to poop on like sales. I don't want to poop on other people's sales necessarily. But, and this is also the fan forge, the We Love Fine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the official merchandise store, mm-hmm. if anyone's wondering. There is some really great stuff on there, like the Quaggan mug.
All the good stuff is sold out.
You can spend $50 pretty easy if they're in stock.
How much is the Quaggan mug?
It's like 20. I thought it was $20.
Because the pint glass that I wanted was 10, and it's sold out.
$25 for the mug.
$25 for a mug. Yeah,
that's a bit much.
Well, but it's Quaggan. And there's now a Choya plush, which is also kind of cool, which is also $25.
Also, is that one of the plushies
is
sold out?
You're at 50.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm a little torn by that whole thing. So, moving on to Toast of Ascalon, we like to take note of artwork, community events, fan creations, and other notable Guild Wars 2 happenings and propose a toast to their existence, the Toasts of Ascalon. This episode, we wanted to call attention to two fan-created items. The first one is Chimes, a Winter's Day-themed Guild Wars 2 fanzine. It's a project hosted within the community of Guild Wars 2 by the organizers of POW. It features both illustrations and short stories that circle around the annual holiday with work from 71 contributors. It's a 100-page, full-color, 7x10 perfect-bound book. In the spirit of Winter's Day, all of the net proceeds of the zine will be going to MFS Doctors Without Borders and will be selling physical copies by themselves and bundled with postcards and permits. So we will be tweeting out their link, but it's gw2zine.bigcartel.com if you go there. And it looks pretty good. And the bundles are really quite nice. A lot of them have sold out already. I haven't checked it in a couple days, but they were about half sold out, I think, for their bundles, which was really great. And the other one is the Guild Mag 2017 annual. It's a physical magazine focusing this year on the game's latest expansion, Path of Fire, as the theme. Inside the 2017 edition, you'll find a range of content covering the best of the expansion, including editorials, artwork, fiction, and fashion produced by our talented team of writers and members from the Guild Wars 2 community. They'll be donating a portion of each pre-order to the charity WWF. By ordering a copy of the Guild Mag Annual 2017, you're helping to conserve our planet and all its inhabitants, including combating climate change. So, okay, I have to get at least, I might have to flip a coin because I don't know if I could do both, but I've been meaning to do at least, I've been wanting to do these for a while and I always end up forgetting, missing the physical copy and then jealous when people post on Twitter when they get them. So, oh, and that is at guildmag.com/annual if you want to go to that website. Finally, for Toast of Ascalon, Stephen Huang, a.k.a. occasional dev guest on Guild Chat, a.k.a. Jawa, friend of the show, has recently left his post at ArenaNet, and we wanted to wish him the very best of wishes for the future. We also want to thank him for all the care and love he put into Guild Wars and Guild Wars 2 since 2003. I've personally witnessed how much passion he's had for the game and for the world of Tyria and the enjoyment he's got from players exploring and discovering the world he's helped to shape. So I had to write that down because I had a lot of feelings.
Yeah. It's hard. Yep.
Really disappointed to see him go. This is the dev that named Celona after Celeste and Alona. This is the dev that named Zad Huntar after me. And, I don't know
nothing
about
after
you.
Hashtag.
Nothing after hashtag. Yeah.
And so it goes.
But, Alona, I don't know if you're proud of Celona, but I am so proud to have like a character or an NPC named after me in this game, and I can't
really
thank Steven enough for that.
Yeah. And, like, always, anytime we were talking about him, he'd drop little tidbits of lore knowledge here or there or ask question, like he was just genuinely interested in your experience in the game.
Yeah, just recently he was talking to us about the Desolation and how he had worked on it and how it was the biggest map in Guild Wars 2 so far, and he was really proud of it.
Yeah, we actually ran on launch day, we ran around some of the POF maps with him. He teamed up.
It's really fun running around with him.
Yeah.
Because you can tell that he gets so much joy out of out of hearing players, like when he's with us and hearing our reaction to things. Yeah. So fun.
Thank you so much to Jawa for everything. It's really remarkable the impact you've had on me and my life. So thank you.
And finally, this is where we brag that people know me and our guild hall smells of rich mahogany. It's our Boasts of Ascalon. And this week we want to basically give a shout out to our lovely listeners for leaving us such kind reviews on iTunes. We don't have any new written reviews to talk about, but we are pleased and proud to announce that we now have seven 5-star reviews. So thank you, Muchly. Thank you for rating us there. Even if you don't leave a comment, just putting in stars is fantastic, and we appreciate it. So
kind of seems like we're fishing there.
We are not. What? What are you talking about?
It just kind of seems like, well, we don't have any new reviews to talk about, but thanks for the old ones, guys.
Well. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And that's it for Boasts of Ascalon.
I love, this was totally like, we should do this. And we're like, sure. And then Hunter just threw us right under the bus.
Oh.
Funny. Thanks, Hunter. That was great.
You're welcome. I'm always here for a good time.
you are. And that is it. That's the show. If you want to get in touch with us, you can contact hashtag on Twitter at HAASHTheTag or SIGG.1735 in game. You can tweet Hunter at Hunter's Insight on Twitter. You can engage Alona at One Big Pear, PEAR, or in game at OneBigPear.1249. You can listen directly from our website at Hosts of Ascalon. Grab the RSS feed to use with your preferred podcast app, or subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. Don't forget, we live stream the show at twitch.tv/hostsofascalon on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. Our next live show, Twitch show, will be recorded on November 29th, so put that in your calendars. Good show, everyone. We're now going to hop on our mounts and ride off until the next show. I might get lost, though.
Oh, you actually wrote something out for the outro.
I did. I'm impressed. Did write something out.
Yeah, and it's not completely lame, so I'm surprised.
Oh, and actually, Rath is doing shout-outs to everyone who did streaming for Extra Life recently. We should have... Oh, crap. Can we add that in? Can we record it and add that in, Hunter?
What?
A Toast of Ascalon.
We talked about Extra Life on the last show, extensively.
Yeah, but it hadn't happened yet.
It's fine. We talked a lot about it.
Oh, well, fine. I'm saying it now.
Anyway.
Regardless, I thought it was pretty great. And
I'll let the recording go on and on after the outro. How's that sound?
There, my pets. We'll have our turn soon. Mordremoth will be master of all!